This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, another look at education. We're going to talk about the Winston-Dillard School District. Superintendent Kimberly Kellison, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So I would like to ask, first off, how things have gone. But, I mean, this is kind of still a new thing for you.
Yeah, the year is flying by. We're doing a lot of great training and professional development in the district. And teachers are learning and really making an impact with students. So it's been a great year so far.
And you began in June, right?
Yes, I began in June when Superintendent Miller retired, and I took over a little bit earlier than customary for a superintendent.
But obviously a lot of things to do to walk into that. And talk about your background a little bit, what you'd done before that.
Yeah, I was a curriculum director in Dallas, Oregon, where I worked for the Dallas School District as an administrator for about 5 years. Been in education. I've also been a business owner. So, you know, I've had a couple of careers in my lifetime, which makes me kind of an unusual administrator.
So as you look at this first year, how do you feel like things have gone with the students and staff?
I think that, there have been a lot of challenges from the pandemic, challenges with staffing, trying to keep buildings open. But other than that, I think that it's gone really well. The students are trying to pick back up and make really good progress, and they're working hard. And we have small class sizes, which is really helpful for teachers. So I feel like we're making good progress this year.
So what about enrollment this year compared to last? Some districts have had shifts. What's it been like there?
We came in right on par, about flat at the beginning of the year. We're down about 20 students. So our enrollment, current enrollment is 1380.
And then how many staff do you have?
I believe we have 90 teachers and another 100 staff members. We have a pretty good size staff for that size district.
So now you've just started, so I don't know if this would even apply, but are there anything new in terms of projects or special things going on in the district?
Yeah, our district is really interested in early literacy, and we have been implementing the ECRI program, which is Enhanced Core Reading Instruction. And that is a program that the University of Oregon developed, and it really teaches teachers a systematic way to teach reading that focuses on the big five of literacy: phonics, phonemic awareness, fluency, comprehension, and vocabulary. It's a really great program.
And how did you come across that?
Actually, Kerry Dwight at Brockway had already used the program. He has a title teacher that had used that and done some training in the building. And so Susan did a good job bringing that to the staff. And then we hired Catapult Learning to take it to the next level with training for all of our elementary buildings. And so we're just kind of branching out district-wide. And I learned about the science of reading from a title teacher in Dallas. So it's a pretty interesting program.
Is it widely used?
It's widely used in the northern part of the state, and it's starting to be a real, it's best practice instruction, and so it's really catching on in the state of Oregon and nationwide, and so we should see some state, progress towards that end.
Do you feel like we've given all the technology shifts and everything that it's a little tougher to get kids interested in literacy and reading early on?
I think if you get kids interested early on and you give them reading that is at their reading level, I think their interest goes up. So I think it depends on how you teach it. I think it's really important that it be engaging and structured so that it meets them at their level so that they can not be frustrated by it, so that they make gains. I think that makes a big difference.
And what is it about this program that you like, or this curriculum, versus some of the other ones available?
Yeah, so we're using the Wonders curriculum, which is new curriculum in the district, and this is kind of a way to teach Wonders. So what it gives teachers is a routine and an explicit way to teach those foundational literacy elements that are so important for new readers. And we haven't done that in the state in the past 20 years, and so this is kind of a new, it's probably new information to some people. Anybody that's interested can reach out to me, and I have lots of information on it, but it is a new way to teach reading to students that is more explicit and direct.
So while you're new, I know that you've got data to look at and a lot of longtime staff that have been there. After the last couple of years, how do you feel like the kids are doing?
I feel like the kids are doing well. I do see a lot of mental health challenges for our kids in the district right now, and I think that that's common across the state. And so we're working on some of those areas by adding additional counselors and, you know, a curriculum that addresses character and, you know, helps students deal with emotional and social challenges.
Do you feel like that's going to be an issue for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I think we're going to be dealing with this for quite some time. There's a lot of information right now about how social media and these different platforms are impacting students and their mental health. Seattle Public just filed a lawsuit against the Meta Corporation for the negative impact that Facebook and Instagram and all those different platforms have on students. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But I think it does have an impact on kids.
Interesting. So coming out of the pandemic as well, everybody just about has issues with staffing sometimes, and that seems to really be a bigger issue in education in some ways. Are you understaffed at all, especially in support positions?
Yeah, some of our support positions we have not been able to fill. We are full on our teaching positions currently. We will have some openings probably next year. That always happens. But we're holding our own right now.
So when you're understaffed, how do you deal with some things not getting done, or how do you get them done?
Well, it's challenging sometimes. I have principals that have to step into classrooms if we can't find a sub. The most challenging part is that if a staff member's out, we're just scrambling around trying to staff that if there's not enough sub pool. So the sub pool's been pretty small, so that means we have to be very creative. Sometimes staff members have to cover for others.
And are you concerned about... It seems like nationwide, less people are enrolling to become teachers to begin with. And it seems like things are already tight. And some of the other administrators I've talked to recently said they've got real concerns looking down the road.
Yeah, we are concerned about that. The pool from the different universities is much smaller than it's ever been. There's less graduates in the College of Education at Oregon State, Oregon, Western. All of those major universities have less graduates, and we're very concerned about that and interested in programs to grow our own employees with our student population and, local folks there.
Do you have any idea what is sort of leading to this, or are you hearing anything about why this is happening?
I think it's competitive. I think there are other industries now where they can make that same competitive wage or better. And so I really think, the state of Oregon is going to have to reevaluate budget at the state level to increase pay for teachers. I think teacher retention and pay and benefits and all those things need to be acknowledged at the state level and increased.
And do you have... older teachers that are exiting sooner because maybe they're at the point where they can technically retire, but and a lot of times they would, want to stick around for several more years. But given the last couple of years, do you have some ones that are kind of rethinking that?
I don't think so. I really think our people are hanging in there pretty well. The four-day week is a real benefit to them. I think our district does a good job of providing support that helps retain teachers. And I think, job satisfaction is really important to me. And so I'm constantly trying to find ways to make their job easier and to make their life a little better.
You mentioned the four-day week, and I've always found that fascinating. So many of the smaller districts around this area do that. Now, you came probably from a place that didn't do that. What's your evaluation of this four-day education model?
I think it's really beneficial to teachers. I think it gives them time to rest and recuperate. We do work 14 Fridays throughout the year, but that gives us a chance to work on projects as a staff. When students are not in the building, it is difficult to meet the instructional hours requirements that the Oregon Department of Education has for public schools. And so we have to be really careful with the calendar. When we build our calendar, we don't have very much cushion.
And do you see any disadvantages of the four-day week?
I think it may be hard on families for to find daycare on Fridays at times. I think it's but we've done surveys about going back to a 5-day week, and 80% of our community said we should stay on a 4-day week.
And I know for some of the athletic aspects that sometimes that simplifies some things too, especially if you've got teams that have to travel maybe out of league a long distance, and those students would already end up being out for a good chunk of the day anyway.
It does. And with the transportation challenges we've had this year, it also, you know, if we're on a 4-day week, then it frees up some transportation for other districts like Roseburg that is on a 5-day. They can utilize some of our buses because we both use First Student. And so it does free up some transportation. And I think it is easier on kids. They miss less school that way.
Is the bus situation improved at all in terms of having enough drivers?
Yeah, we are fully staffed, I think, just as of this week in the transportation department. But, man, that's been a really difficult thing all year to keep that staffed.
Well, and it's not like, because I know what the license requirements are, it's not like you can just get somebody else to go drive a bus.
Yeah, you can't. It takes a lot of training, and our dedicated bus drivers are dealing with student issues sometimes. So there's a lot of challenges in that job that they have to overcome, and the training is pretty extensive.
All right, we're going to come back with more. Kimberly Kellison, the superintendent of the Winston-Dillard School District, back in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's program. Umpqua Community College President Dr. Rachel Pockrant will be on Inside Douglas County. Kimberly Kellison is the superintendent of the Winston-Dillard School District in with us this afternoon. Talking about a lot of things happening in school districts. Now, this is your first year being a superintendent, right?
Yeah, correct.
So what's that shift been like to running one part of a district and then going to running all of it?
Yeah, it is definitely a mind shift. There's a lot more large-scale K-12 planning that we do, visionary, strategic planning, and less detail. I'm used to ordering books and all those different things you do as a curriculum director, and now I'm just kind of directing traffic. So it is a very different role. It's a very political role where you have to get out into the community and do a lot of communication and a lot of meet and greets and different events like that.
Now, Douglas High School, how is everything going out there?
Oh, the high school looks beautiful. It's all perfectly manicured, and the landscape's all in, and the parking lot's paved. It looks really beautiful there, and the students are really enjoying that beautiful new building.
So was that done in time to start the school year?
The parking lot was not done in time to start the school year. It was a little bit delayed due to some permit issues.
But everything else, I mean, it's probably, for people who've been there a long time, probably a big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. We're working on a new ag barn that's paid for with Measure 98 funds. We're working on a culinary classroom right now, remodeling that so that the kids can take culinary next year. There's a lot of new programs in that building. It's really a cool building to be in.
And I understand that your ag program has really grown a lot.
Yeah, it has. The kids are really active. The classes are really full. Our shop and our metals teacher, they're all doing a really great job. Our woods teacher right now is building the new boardroom table for the district office, and the kids are really busy and really excited about those courses.
Do you see, looking from here going forward, that all these career technical areas are going to be a bigger piece of what's offered?
Yeah, I believe that career and technical education is really important. I would like to, expand that. We're talking about a drone class for next year. So things that are really engaging to students that keep them in the building and help them graduate.
I mean, for many years, everybody would talk about the importance of a 4-year education. So many things now, and there's a lot of core reasons where that's still really good. But for some people, it's not the fit that they necessarily want to go with. And I think what people overlook sometimes is that some of these careers that you can get into through these programs and then going on to doing that at UCC or somewhere else actually end up paying better than a lot of jobs coming out of 4-year colleges.
Yeah, general contractors, plumbers, electricians, all those job fields are really they need people in those fields, and they pay really well. So we are, you know, we do encourage students to go into the trades schools if that fits their needs. You know, some kids, it's a 4-year college, but not everybody. And so you got to find whatever fits for each student. And I think it's really important that, you know, you look at the whole student and what their interests are.
And so many things technologically have shifted so fast. I mean, you talk about a drone class. 5 years ago, people would have said, what?
Yeah.
You know, and now that is a lot more common. So much of the technology, even that's being studied now, is going to shift by the time somebody gets to the end of their course of study.
Yeah, that's true. What we're training them for now might not even be as pertinent as it needs to be for what field they may go into. But we're interested in building partnerships in Douglas County, you know, or re-strengthening those, or, you know, adding new ones with employers and different organizations that can help kids get out there into the workforce and really understand what it's about.
And what about the potential for classes through Douglas, for instance, that are tied to also getting credit at Umpqua Community College?
Yeah, those are great opportunities for kids like Writing 121 and all those different college courses that can be taken through UCC. Those are a great opportunity for kids to earn credit.
And are you guys going to work at expanding more of that?
Yeah, we are trying to expand more of that. When we did our needs assessment for the Integrated 6 program through ODE, that was one of the areas that our students identified that they would like to have more offerings in that area. So we are looking at that.
Now, every school district has a school board. What's yours working on in particular this year?
Our board has been really active this year. They are looking at updating our Hall of Fame for Winston-Dillard School District and dedicating some fields and buildings to different people that have made an impact in the district. And so that's going to be mentioned at the board meeting tomorrow night. Also, the mural wall placement of that was a huge project when I first came on board. So there have been a lot of different things this year that they've worked on, and we have a really supportive school board. It is National School Board Week or month in January, and so I just want to thank those folks that work so hard for kids.
And school boards, I mean, you know, it's hard to get people to volunteer for a lot of things coming out of the pandemic. And school boards are probably one of the areas where you volunteer and end up spending the most hours.
Yeah, they spend a ton of hours. You'd be surprised at the committees they serve on and the events they attend and the sporting events they're at. And so being a school board member is a big job. And you know, those people that take that on, they're really committed to the district and the kids.
Do you find that a lot of the people that are doing that have lived in the area for a long time?
Yes, a lot of those people are local people that have been in the area forever.
What's been, as a new superintendent, what's been maybe the thing you're proudest about, happiest about so far in terms of how the district's gone this year?
I think our work on early literacy and how we're providing professional development for our teachers that will really enhance their instruction and give them better tools so that they can reach more kids. I think that's really important. One of the things when I was hired was that the teachers wanted staff-driven professional development that they were interested in. And so we've worked really hard to build a program that is teacher-driven and takes in a lot of teacher voice in that process.
And what's been one of the bigger challenges being a first-year superintendent?
I think the challenges of staffing the building is probably the most difficult in transportation, and that is staffing related as well. Just, you know, but our staff has done an amazing job covering for one another when they're out. Our principals step in when they have to. I step in if I have to. And so, you know, it's a group process, but I would like to see that ease up in the future, but it's going to be a little bit before that eases up.
And looking ahead, what are you already planning some things for the next school year?
Yeah, we are. We're working on a professional development plan for next year at our meeting on Thursday that talks about math professional development for our teachers. We are in the middle of a math adoption, and we will have a new math curriculum next year. And so doing the training and the professional development around that product, as well as continuing our early literacy ECRI training.
And what has been, you know, being around a new district, what's been one of the more interesting things you've learned about the area just coming here as a new person?
Well, I'm just really impressed with the people in this area. They're just really friendly and really helpful. And I've just had a really easy transition. My team has been really amazing. My administration team's fantastic. And so I've had a really easy transition. I like the weather here a little better than Dallas. You get a lot less rain here. So that's been a nice bonus.
And are you able to connect with other superintendents around the county?
Yeah, the Douglas County Superintendents Group is really supportive. Anytime we have an issue, they encourage us to reach out, New Soups. And so I have them on speed dial if I have an issue. So that's been really nice.
All right, Kimberly Kellison, the superintendent of the Winston-Dillard School District. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.